You're listening to Face Off, episode 45, recorded November 29th, 2009. Face Off. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com. And those show notes are going to be particularly helpful this episode because we're doing a special Christmas episode, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a ton of links, so you're going to probably want to check those show notes out to find all the products we're going to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. So what we're doing is a Christmas episode on good geek gifts for people. It's not strictly web technology, so if, you know, you listen to this show specifically for, you know, exclusively web technology, then you know, this probably won't be the show for you. But if you have people in your family that you want to buy cool gifts for, Mark and I have some great ideas and we want to talk about them. Plus, Mark and I, you know, we love web technology, but we love technology in general. We love lots of gadgets and cool things. We're, you know, we're always interested in really fancy, cool stuff. So we're going to talk about those. But first, let's get into a follow-up that we have. I found actually another time tracking app. That, you know, we talked about one last week, and this one is called Color Hat, and you go to colorhat.com, and this one is a little more detailed. It allows you to put in specific customers, projects, and services that you might be doing for that project or customer, and then you can add time with it and then get various reports on it. It's a lot like the other one, but a little more detailed. The interface I like, it's a lot prettier, I think. It's got this kind of nice muted blue, and I like that. But it is a little bit more complicated. It took me a while to figure it out. So this one is kind of designed more for people who do work and then want to track that time later. Whereas one we talked about last week was really more just, you know, click to record time. And then, you know, when you're done, figure out what you just did.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you might forget, you'd want to maybe use this one. I mean, it would be better to use this one if you're forgetful and you don't, you know, track your time.
It just kind of depends on what you're doing. I work with a guy who, his big thing, he's more of a guy to use the one last week, right? He's like, all right, I'm starting something, you know, someone called me with a problem, Mark, right? Mm-hmm. And then, start the timer. And then when you're done, say, okay, I was doing this with that. This one is more like, okay, I just spent the last 20 minutes working on this. I'm going to go back and re-record it. Mm-hmm. I'm stupid, but I can't just find an interface that just says, you know, start recording time. Just start recording and I'll fill it in later. Once you've added a project or a thing that you're working on, you can add more time to it later because there's a little sort of play button next to the time. So like if you have to go back and work on something else, then you can hit play and sort of tag more time onto it. Mm-hmm. But that initial start, and I felt it was kind of clunky. I really wanted to be able to like just mark time and then fill out the information later.
Mm-hmm. I noticed this one has like a play button and it was starting to count down. Does it have a start and stop then?
Well, the play button is to add more time to something that exists already.
Oh.
Is there a play button somewhere else?
Well, it says start and stop on the front page. There's a little play button.
Once you log in, that is not there anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
It's also next to something that's already there, so that's probably what the case is.
Yeah. So like here, you know, I can see that we were working on Face Off. We were working on show notes, and next to it, it says that I worked on it for X amount of time, and there's a play button that I could hit play and add more time to that.
Looking back at it, I think the first one is probably better due to the fact that you have to be doing it before you do it.
Yeah.
So you're consciously aware that you're tracking time, whereas this one, it's like, oh, what did I do yesterday? I forget. I don't know.
I think this one is also like designed for the first one. I feel like is designed for I want to track my time personally. This one I feel is more like if you want to track time for billing a customer or billing particular things.
Good point.
So like, you know, I have a Face Off project, and then I could add, you know, some of my customers that I do independent contracting for, and when they call up, I could work on their stuff. You know, help them out for 15 minutes. Then I can go back and, you know, mark that 15 minutes I worked on them, and then later get a report and bill them for the month. That's okay. I wish it did have that feature that the other one had. I do want to be able to just hit play and have it go. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like this sort of having to do it later, and then if you have done it once, then you can record more time onto it. I find that silly.
Okay. Yeah, but, I mean, that's a good point you bring up. I could see this one being more useful for a client, relationship time totally. Management software.
Totally. So check it out. It's at colorhat.com. Pretty interesting web app. And if it gets better, if they do that, you know, sort of that fix that I think that they should, I think it's a great web app and it's a out of the ballpark hitter for levels of awesome. All right, let's move on to our sort of, I mean, that one was kind of a new web app. We talked about it a little bit. The next one we want to talk about is called Load2All, which what this web app does, it's really simple. It allows you to upload a file, and it'll upload the file to a bunch of different sort of file sharing websites. And the really killer feature is it's got so many of them that it can upload to, and if the file is too big for one, it'll cut the file into RARs and upload it to multiple ones and then give you one page to get all the links for that.
Wow, that saves you a ton of time.
Totally. So in episode 20, we talked about, what was that app?
Files Over Miles,
which was kind of a similar way to do it. It was a peer-to-peer thing to share big files. But if you can't do the peer-to-peer thing, or you have multiple people that you want to send this ability out to or send this file out to, use something like this because it'll do it over a bunch of them. And then also you don't have like everything sort of hunkered down on one service, which could be a pain.
So you're saying, so let's say Rapid Share, you know, only supports 200 megabyte files. If you have a 600 megabyte file, it's going to split them up.
Yep. And then put one of those files on Rapid Share and then the rest on, you know, storage.2 or Mega Upload. Cool. Yeah.
Interesting.
Very cool little web app. Again, can be used for bad, naughty things, but also, I mean, what if you're just trying to share like an ISO of, you know, with that has a DVD with, you know, family video on it from your family reunion or something? Mm-hmm. This is a way to do that if you don't have web space of your own.
Hmm. So then, I mean, most of these services, you need to know the exact URL you can't really search through these. So it's fairly private if you did want to send like a home video of some sort.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not. It seems like it would, I mean, it's privacy and security through
obscurity.
Through obscurity. It's not, but better than nothing, right? I mean, yeah. It's better than just putting the whole thing up on Fall Upload with like my family video.
So I don't know. Maybe you had a ton of stock images for the new Face Off web design or something. You mm-hmm. wanted to send those over to me, and Gmail's got some restriction on the file size. You could use something like this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cool.
Very helpful. All right, so if you guys have any web apps or news and follow-ups you want us to talk about, please go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know. We always like to hear about this stuff, and we really appreciate your guys' help in the show. All right, so let's get on to the gifts. This excites me. I don't know if our listeners know, but I really like spending money, and I really should get better about it. I love buying gadgets and tinker things and all that silly stuff. I really like it.
Yeah. Especially the little like geeky,
electronic-y
stuff.
Okay. So to get it off started, I'm going to talk about sort of like, you know, there's two kinds of Christmas gifts, right? There's like the, hey, this is your gift for your wife or your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like office gifts, like stocking stuffer type little gifts. And I'm a huge fan of the stocking stuffer type stuff. So let's talk about those first.
So what's the first one? What do we got?
All right, the first stocking stuffer we have is called the stapler-free stapler.
I've heard quite a bit. I've never actually used one of these things, but they mm-hmm. look really cool. And I don't find myself... I hear they don't work with like 20 pages, but I don't find myself stapling 20 pages.
No, it's always like
usually.
4 or 5, maybe.
Exactly.
Two is usually what
it is, right.
And so these don't use staplers. They just kind of punch and then fold the paper in a particular way that holds it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about not having staples again.
And it's $8. Why not?
$8 at Amazon. Yeah. So that's really cool. I've seen these all around. I'm glad to see that people are starting to use them. I wish I could try one myself.
Right.
You know, this
I've always wanted one.
Basically, this whole episode is like a wish list for anybody in our family that is going to buy us, you and I, a Christmas gift, because these are like all the cool things that we found that we wanted to talk about. So I haven't tried one, but that would be awesome.
Yep.
All right. So the next thing we want to talk about, this is terrible. I have one of these. One of my coworkers has one of these. It's the ThinkGeek Annoyatron. You can get it at thinkgeek.com. Why? Well, this is so evil.
So, I mean, basically what it is, a little circuit board, maybe the size of a half dollar and kind of a rectangle. I mean, that's a quarter there, so it's not much bigger than
it's probably like an inch by 2 inches or something like that. I mean, really.
So the idea of this thing is you hide it in an office or a cubicle or a room or of some sort. And, you know, there's different, you can do random buzzes and noises, and it does it at random intervals. So the idea is that you set this thing up and it starts chirping and somebody's like, what was that? And they like try to search for it and it's not beeping all the time. It may take 5 minutes before it does the next beep. So it's really hard to find.
Yeah.
You're on one side of the room and it beeps and you're like, oh, where was it? It's on here, I think. And then it beeps again. And
totally. It'll drive you crazy. I have the first version of this, which is the 1.0, and it has basically just a really high-pitched sort of buzz, and then it has sort of like a cell phone beep or like just like a beep, and then random intervals, however you want to do it. This is the 2.0 one, which has the same two noises that mine does, plus it has an even higher-pitched buzz, sort of what is the one that only, you know, young people can hear?
Yeah, they call it the teen buzz tone.
The teen buzz tone. It's so high-pitched that only younger people, because as you get older, your ears, you know, can't hear quite as high-pitched noises, so... this is a craze a while ago because college kids were using it as their ringtone on their cell phone. So if their phone went off in class, they wouldn't get in trouble because their professors were old and couldn't hear.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. It's funny.
Yeah. And then it has like a cricket sound and a couple other. It's just crazy. And it, seriously, they have the circuit board has a little magnet on it so that if you can find a little metal part in someone's desk or something or in the office, you can hang it up to there with a little magnet, and it's just, it's virtually impossible to find. I mean, it's so hard because these sounds move in mysterious ways around a room. You would swear that they're right there, and then when someone asks, you finally get them to fess up as to where they put it, you're like, I had no clue. It was, you know, in the drawer in my desk and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, totally. Like, I've had, like, old USB or USP, you know, the uninterruptible power supply, UPS.
UPS, yeah.
UPS. And it would, like, beep randomly sometimes. I'm like, what was that? Is it my UPS or is it this? And you go out and search it, and you finally find it, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So I could, I mean, these things are...
Use with caution, because this might get your office mates to stab you, because it's your... Some people, like me, it didn't really bother me. But I have Paul Levette, who was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It drove him insane. I mean, he just could not ignore it. He was crazy about it. He could not stand that it was somewhere in the office making noise. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
All right, let's move on to... this isn't just a particular product. It's sort of a brand. It's Zag Invisible Shield. You and I, this is a great present because instead of getting someone a big expensive gift, why don't you help them protect the fancy electronics that they already have with the Invisible Shield? This product was developed to be like a cover for helicopter blades to protect them from like little nicks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculously tough.
Yeah. They take a key to it. I've got one on my iPod Touch. I like it. It hasn't fallen off. Mm-hmm. You can take them off, though. They advertise that it's not going to leave a sticky residue if you decide you hate it. It adds a little bit of grip. It's great for, you know, these expensive devices that you want. I mean,
you want them in your pocket.
Right. I mean, you spend a lot of money on these devices, and you're like, well, I don't want to put it in my pocket because I don't want to get scratched up and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then it defeats the purpose of the device, because usually these are mobile devices that you're going to want to carry around so you can take pictures. Yeah. And, you know, like if it's a phone, it's going to, I mean, it has to be in your pocket.
Totally. It makes them super usable.
And it makes it super usable. It protects them from scratches. It keeps them lasting longer, I would say.
I don't really notice it when it's on my device. Like I have it on iPod Touch as well. I don't ever notice that it's on. It's really strong. Like you said, you can take a key to it. And it's just, they come in, most things come in two types. You have the screen invisible shield, or you can have the whole device invisible shield. So like for an iPod Touch, the screen one literally just covers the front screen. But if you get the whole device cover, it covers the screen and the back.
Right.
And they have it for basically any device you might even be able to think of that you want to keep in your pocket.
Yeah. I mean, they got the Droid, iTouch, iPhone. They pretty much have, I mean, those are the popular ones, but they definitely have a big selection of models and things.
And you'd be surprised what devices they can fit these on. They can be a little touchy to put on a device sometimes. Like I had a Samsung Omnia, and getting it on the Omnia was a little hairy. And there's a couple times where, you know, they have sort of these little tabs, these little flaps and stuff. And sometimes I just could not get it to stick. I don't know what I did. But basically the big flat surface, like the front of your screen, will always fit up nice and snug. So, I mean, for the most part, like what I ended up with Omni is I just took off the invisible shield on everything else and just left it on the front screen because that's what I really didn't want to get scratched. And it worked out great that way.
The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is it also has a lifetime replacement warranty. So if it does end up, you know, ripping or scratching or peeling off, you can get another one. You can send your old one in or whatever. They'll send you a new one. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is there's other things like this that, you know, like Walmart or the Verizon store or something. Why do we kind of recommend this one?
Well, the other ones, they just don't have the stickability and protection of this. This is a very specific product. It's very patented right now. No one else is doing this. And they're really easy to put on. It comes with on it like sort of a sheet of paper. You peel it off. It comes with this. I think it's deionized water. I'm not really sure. It's some kind of liquid. But you spray the liquid on the thing and then put on the invisible shield and then put the invisible shield on the device. And it sort of wraps up to it. And then you kind of try and work the bubbles out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, once the bubbles are worked out, it's not like other screen protectors where it might peel off or anything like that. I mean, it's on there and it's good. And like you said, it just comes right off if you decide you don't want it. And it's so thin. I mean, it really fully protects your device. And the device is this exact same size as intended to be. Like, I hate some of those things, like with my Zune, when I have to put it into a case. Mm-hmm. And that case makes it way thicker than it is. And sometimes I forget how sleek of a little device it is because it has this big fat case on it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but with the Invisible Shield, the device is just the way they intended it, only super protected.
Yep. This is a great stocking stuffer, and I would like one for my Droid.
Yeah, me too. Oh, don't scratch Droid. All right, let's move on to the next one, which is the Rockstar Mini Plug Splitter.
So you actually have one of these.
I do.
We use it to record this show. We're using it right now.
Yeah. It's a Belkin product. What it does is it, you know, plugs into your device and splits the mini plug out six ways.
Yep.
So really... really simple, really nice. Like, let's say if you have a bunch of friends or if you're in a car driving with your family and, you know, you just want to listen to the same music but not bug your parents or something like that.
Right.
Get one of these little puppies. They're really cheap. And it also comes with a cable, too. This is one of the sort of weird things about you know, the device like this is it comes with a two-sided mini plug so that you can really plug in two input devices.
Oh, interesting.
It's not like an amplified splitter. So technically, you know, every device that you plug in sort of reduces the overall sound quality, technically, but realistically, you probably won't notice it a whole lot.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I usually like have to do the whole get behind the computer and swap stuff out with my headphones. I got a big long cable and I prefer headphones for games and things, but... you know, I have regular speakers too. This is perfect to just have them all plugged in and having it like sitting on the desk and where I can just plug in devices at will, you know, and having two input, that's great. I mean, what if one computer's off and the other one's on or something, then it won't hurt the sound quality.
Yeah.
And totally. It's still very useful. You don't have to be, you know, unplugging, playing switch operator with all
totally.
The plugs. You know?
And then when you unplug your speakers, it goes like, poof, it makes this really loud noise.
Hurts your ears.
Yeah, totally. So great little product. The next thing we want to talk about, this is another stocking stuffer that I really would like, is the Belkin Mini Surge Outlet. And what this is, it's like a little surge protector with three outlets on it. So it's, you know, aimed at sort of the portable guy with a laptop that you want to protect your devices when you're on the go.
Mm-hmm.
But the really cool part about it is, I mean, it's small, it's a surge protector, and it has two USB ports on the side. So many devices these days charge off of USB.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You know, take this with you, then you don't have to carry all these things with you, and you just bring your sort of USB cables for your Droid, your Zune, your iPod, your any of those things.
Yeah, we had a discussion about the USB, and did you say that a lot of the phones are switching on? I mean, the Droid has the USB, a lot
I believe
of cameras.
Every major sort of portable manufacturer agreed upon the micro USB standard for their plug-in to charge.
It's great because you can plug it off a computer, a laptop maybe, if you're on the road and you don't have a plug-in. You can plug it in with this. It's great. So I think it's something that's going to be we're going to see a lot more of.
Absolutely.
And so something like this is awesome. And it's $14. It's cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many things now. Not only are devices charging off USB, but there's accessories now that charge off USB and then will discharge and stuff. So this is just a handy thing to have around so that you don't – If you don't want to, you don't have to go the round robin of charging your laptop and then charging your iPod off of your laptop that's charging from the wall. Just go straight to the wall. Mm-hmm. Take care of it.
Exactly.
Plus, some USB devices are really weird about if the computer doesn't actually detect which type of device it is. Sometimes it doesn't fully charge and stuff, but these just pipe it out straight to
the... Or if your computer goes to hibernate mode, it stops charging. I've seen that.
Absolutely. That's
a
pain. And then you go to like, all right, my iPod's charged up and I can listen. It's not dead.
That happens to me all the time. But with this, it wouldn't. That'd be great. What do we got next?
All right, the next stocking stuffer is similar to the last one, but this is the Skosh, I think, dual USB car charger. This is just, plugs into your sort of power port inside of your car and has two USB ports to charge your devices with.
Yeah, I mean, so whether it be, a phone or, a GPS system or something, they probably come with one, but like a phone, this is great. Like the Droid has a GPS application built into it. Mm-hmm. If you could find some sort of mounting device and then plug it into this, it'd be great.
Yeah.
You can just go down the road with your GPS.
Yeah, or just, you're listening to your MP3 player through a tape adapter in your car or something. You know, it's all going to be charged through USB, so just bring this with you anyways. It won't charge, like, your laptop or anything, but I think a lot of people aren't taking their laptop with them, too. Sometimes it's just, a cell phone and, an MP3 player. There you go. Two plugins for it.
Yep. Good. But, I mean, if you have, like, a little phone, and you might not need the laptop on the road if you've got a little phone that's got the web, and you just need to get that last little charge in there.
Like a Droid, right? I mean, if I have my Droid, I don't really need a laptop a whole lot.
That's true.
All right, those are the stocking stuffers. So I want to ask you guys if you have any other good ideas for stocking stuffers or anything like that, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know. Like I said, I love the $10 to $20 price sweet spot for me just hooks me every time.
Yeah.
So little stocking stuffer gadgets like that, just I can't help but buy them. So I want to hear about all the cool ones that other people know about. So let us know.
If there's ever a time to, send us feedback, now is the time. We want to hear what kind of things you guys would like to have, whether it be stocking stuffers or the bigger ticket items that we're going to talk about next. Send them in and, we'll maybe put them in the post or something. Or
totally, yeah.
Add them on here and we'll get a good list going.
Yeah, I'm excited. So those were the little guys. Let's get into the big day. Okay, so you got your geeky coworker a gift. You got some stocking stuffers for your husband. Now you got to figure out what you really want to get him. Let's hear some of the ideas that we got, Mark.
All right, the first one I found was Popcorn Hour. It's actually, so you've got a media center kind of PC hooked up to your TV. What this is basically that in a device, so you don't have to go buy a computer and then buy a capture card and an antenna and this and that.
Yeah, I mean, like technically, I mean, my media center PC wasn't cheap. I mean, if you add the cost up, it wasn't cheap. I got lucky. So, for example, one of the big expenses was the case, which I got for free because I won a contest at a LAN party. But I still had to buy the processor and the motherboard and the RAM, and I had a capture card. I'm lucky, which I bought like a couple years ago. But, total cost was not cheap. And it was still a pain in the butt to set up sometimes. Like I recently just upgraded to Windows 7 on it, and that was kind of a pain. It'd be nice to have sort of a hardware device that just does it really well. Some do, but, there are certain things that have, they act as like media center extenders, which means they connect to your media center PC. That's okay, but I kind of still would like a more standalone device to take care of all of it. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if definitely by all means, if you've got a decently speed old computer sitting around and you want to go buy a capture card, that's probably the way to go. You will need to have some like technical skill background to be able to hook it all up. And there's some great Linux distributions that are all set up for you. Mm-hmm. But this is a good way to go. It's a Let's see, the price was $299, I think. Let me check here. $299. Mm-hmm. You get a remote control. It's got a nice LCD display on the front. And, you can play it from your PC attached storage. You can do it over the network, the internet, CNET TV or Blip.TV or...
they've got a lot of partners like Shoutcast, like BBC, Live 365, which there's some great stations on Live 365 that I like movie and TV partners. I mean, these guys look like they're doing pretty good trying to get some things on there for you.
Yep. So if you're in the market for maybe, or you're, jonesing for a nice media center PC, but you don't want to go buy a whole computer and do all that, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some, there's definitely some cooler, cheaper things you can do out there, too, if you want a media center PC. Like, there's some sort of all-in-one, small form factor PCs that are coming out. Like, Asus has the E... I think they just call it the E, which is like a, it's not their laptop, which is the EPC. It's just a little desktop. Mm-hmm. There's like the Mac Mini if you want to go that route. The
studios are pretty decently priced too.
Yeah.
But they don't have a capture card.
Yeah, the Dell studios. But you can, I mean, you can get a USB capture device really easily. And then if you want, like you said, you can do a Linux distribution. You can use a Boxy, which is a really great media center mm-hmm. app that has a lot of this functionality. You know, Myth TV is the Linux one that everybody really likes. So you can do it, but this
XBMC.
This looks great. It looks like a little piece of hardware device. It fits right in. You know, I had to buy specifically a media center case, and it looks like a piece of sort of AV equipment, which is nice, but that case, you know, unless you buy one like that, it looks out of place. This device looks like just another component in mm-hmm. your home studio or home movie room stack.
Yep, definitely.
All right, what do we got next?
The next one is a book that I've heard a lot about. I hear this is like the Bible of computer programming. And, well, it's got 113 reviews, and it's got, well, it looks like 5 stars. 93 out of 113 were 5 stars, and the other ones were 4 stars.
Wow.
I've seen it in Stack Overflow and just tons of websites where people are like, this is, if you're going to get one single book on programming, this is it. So, to bring this episode back to kind of web technology, this is a great book for you to get, possibly.
Okay. For budding or already proficient programmers.
One of the comments on Stack Overflow was like, this is the kind of book that has 60 pages on white space, on like how to tab properly and keep your code clean and things. So, I think it's a very... Do they have a page? Like, how many pages? Because I think it is a very big... like reference style book. Like you can go to any part of the book and start reading. I don't think you need to start from the beginning and go to the end. But it's something that I've always wanted because I've heard a lot about
960 pages.
There you go.
All right. So if you, yeah, I mean, honestly, we haven't read that yet. But so many people have said that you've got to read this book, that they can't be wrong. And you and I are going to have to do what we do as we say. All right. So the next little item that we want to talk about, we've talked about this before. I love peripherals for computers. Again, the sort of little gadget thing. I love mice and keyboards. I buy way too many of them. The next one is the Logitech MX Revolution cordless laser mouse. Awesome mouse.
Mm-hmm. So you have a similar mouse, not quite. What's the
model? I have the Logitech Revolution VX Nano or something like that. It's the VX Nano. I can't remember the exact name of it.
So these are great. Like, they've got side scrollers, top scrollers. It's got an indicator for like how much power it's got.
Yeah.
It's ergonomic. I mean,
it's very smooth. It's got the you can do the scroll wheels can either be clicky or you can make them, you know, super smooth, which doesn't work on netbooks because it's sending it way too many like signals at once and can't handle it.
I've heard people that got this mouse are just, you know, they love it. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like a great, very smooth, very nice
laptop, mouse. Desktop mouse. Doesn't matter. It looks small enough that it could be used in both.
Definitely. It comes with a charging stand.
And the other thing to mention on these is they have a really small USB, transmitter that you plug into the laptop, so you don't have to worry about it like snapping off or any goofy stuff like that. It slides right into the mouse. So
yeah, like the Nano receiver for my little laptop mouse is just tiny. It's great. It's just flush. You don't even notice it there.
You can barely see it.
So like we said, I think I would love to get that as a gift because I love mice like that.
And laser, you can probably use it on your leg while you're watching TV or something. Yeah. I mean, you don't need an awesome mouse surface.
Yeah, definitely.
You can just go with it.
It's much better. All right. So the next thing that we want to talk about is the HP Mini. This is a netbook out there. Mark and I both have one. We have different models, actually. They have different models of the Mini. I'm not sure, right? I know mine is an HP Mini.
Yeah, there's subtle differences. Like, you have a silver thing on the top of yours. Mine's black. You have a thing to turn the touchpad, deal off. Uh-huh. But, I mean, for the most part, they are the same. $298 for pseudo-laptop. I guess they're called netbooks.
Yeah,
but
they're definitely called netbooks.
I mean, it's almost a full-size keyboard. I can surf the web, and I have Linux running on mine. I can do almost anything. I've programmed on it before. I've hooked it up to another monitor and use it as like a desktop replacement on the road programming, and it works great. It's, I don't know. It's,
yeah, they're nice. I mean, they're not a full, you know, power under the hood.
You're not going to run Photoshop on this.
Not going to run Photoshop on it. You and I have Ubuntu Netbook Edition on them, which it runs really great with. It's really good. It, you know, the whole point of a netbook was sort of that you can do basic things with it, and it's excellent at that. I bought an Acer one a while ago, or the first one I bought was an Acer one. It was 9 inches, and the keyboard was horrendous. And that's why I upgraded, you know, I say upgraded because I really didn't change it except for the overall size to this HP one, which the keyboard really has no learning curve with it.
A friend of mine asked me, he was in the market for one of these, and he asked me which one to get. And I said, well, the biggest thing to look for is the keyboard size.
Absolutely.
If you can't type on it comfortably to be able to either write a paper for college or program or whatever, it's going to kind of suck.
Yeah, and I think
these are great. I think they said 92% of a full keyboard.
Yeah, that's really close. And that you're right. I mean, that's a good point. Under the hood, they're all pretty much going to be the same. Oh, man, there's your droid again.
I need to remember to turn that off. It's not even mine. I don't even know where it's at. Over there. Anyways.
All right. Wow. Again, yeah, if you want to buy people a droid, too, that's a great present. But under the hood, I think they're pretty much the same anymore. There isn't like a huge performance difference between each of the new models that are out. Slight price difference. Really, it's just about keyboard and what form factor you want. What do you want to look like?
I mean, I think the netbook concept has been out long enough. I think the companies are working they're working off each other's mistakes and
totally.
And I think they're all coming out kind of about the same, and they've really changed and they've got it down now. I think.
Absolutely.
Almost any brand you buy now is going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, like the Acer ones that have come out after the one I bought are awesome. I almost want one because they have a 10-inch one with like a really cool membrane keyboard, nice bright screen. So I mean, yeah, it's really hitting sort of full stride. There's not a whole difference between them, I don't personally think, but you know, and it used to be like you'd have to go online to find them and stuff, but now you can go to Costco and they've got two of them. Walmart's got four models, you know, really easy to find them and go.
And I ended up getting the 6-hour battery life on mine, and I didn't, you know, if I saw it in the store, because it kind of sticks out a little bit, yeah. If I saw it in the store, I would have probably said, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But now that I've used it, I love it. So being able to go 6 hours and, you totally. Know, not charge it, that's
absolutely
just awesome.
So. Yeah, mine gets about half that, which doesn't bother me. Sometimes I get frustrated because, like, if I leave it in standby, it can drain fairly quick. But for the most part, it's not too bad. All right. So the next things we want to talk about, and we're going to move through these pretty quick, is sort of the Kindle and now the Barnes & Noble Nook. These are ebook readers. They use e-ink. They both have wireless connections to download the books over, you know, cellular connections, so you don't have to, you know, connect it to your computer or anything like that. And they're really cool.
So the Barnes and Noble one, is that one out yet?
No, I don't think it's out yet. I think it's going to be out during Christmas time.
Okay.
But, I like it a little bit more. It has sort of a color screen on the bottom with the cover of the books. It doesn't have like a keyboard, which like, I don't really think I need with the Kindle. I think it doesn't do some things that like you can't browse Wikipedia with it like you can with the Kindle, which is really sweet.
So these use the e-ink technology. So, I mean, this isn't like a looking at a laptop. It's not going to really strain your eyes or anything. This is really
exactly.
meant for reading novels and long blocks of text.
Yeah, the way e-ink works is it sets the screen electronically, which uses battery, but to maintain what is on the screen requires no power whatsoever.
So you can charge this thing and it lasts like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And really good. You know, anybody who reads would love one of these, I think. Some people are kind of snobby about it, so you might, you know, feel out the person you're going to buy it for first. They are not cheap. They're pretty expensive, you know, $200 to $400. But, you know, again, or if someone has one of these, you can buy, like, Amazon gift cards or Barnes & Noble gift cards, and then they have, you know,
books
free books.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can even get, I might be wrong, but I think, never mind. I mean, the Barnes & Noble's one, you can walk in the store and say what book you want, and it pops up on your reader, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so they both look great. You know, really clear, great screens. They're not like reading off a laptop, like you said. They're really, it'll be very natural to you if you read novels, or I mean, if you just read books in general.
And they do have a speaker built into the newest version of the Kindle, so you can have it read to you.
Mm-hmm. Some books they won't let you though. That's the weird thing, is it's up to the publisher, which is frustrating. But we won't even get into that. Let's move on. The next big ticket item that I think everyone should have is a Drobo.
Yay.
Any way, shape, or form, get a Drobo. Mark and I both have the Drobo 2.0s, you know, four drive bays, Firewire 800, USB 2.0. And what these do is just, I mean, they are so useful. They keep your data. They spread your data out on multiple drives. If one of your drives go bad, you know, it's got a red light next to it, you know, to replace it, but it keeps your data safe for you. You know, it lets you know how much space you have until you're going to start losing data if something goes wrong. You know, it's dashboard software that's really easy to use, really user-friendly. I love my Drobo.
Yeah, I mean, you can get 5 1-terabyte drives and put it in there. Now you have 5 terabytes of one single place to put all your stuff rather than buying a 5-terabyte drive that's, like, ridiculously totally expensive. That's one plus of it right there. And then, like you said, the redundancy of the data. If one drive fails, you can just swap a new one in, and you're ready to go. And you can upgrade the drive. So, like, you pull the 500-gigabyte one in there, put it 1 terabyte, you know,
and your overall sort of cloud of data grows bigger, and you don't have to mess with it. We bought this because I got burnt. One of my hard drives failed. I lost the high quality versions of my wedding photos, which was, you know, devastating. I'm still trying to make that up to my wife. But with this, I wouldn't have to worry about that because one drive can fail and that's okay. It lets me know in enough time. It lets me know it's failed and it takes care of it, so I can take care of it without losing data. They just came out with a new version called the Drobo S. It's got 5 drive bays and eSATA, so it's even faster. So check them out. We love them.
And the price is right on this thing. This price has dropped since the new ones came out. Yeah. So this is a good opportunity to get this one. They're fast enough. I wouldn't, if you want the fast SATA Pro one, that's go with it. But that's a,
yeah, this like, one's I great. Mean, you're not going to use it for like your Photoshop swap drive or anything like that, but just loading it with redundant data. I keep my photos, my MP3s, all my work on it. No problem.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the next cool gift. This is the LaCrosse Technology Alpha Power Battery Charger. This basically recharges any sort of rechargeable battery for you, but what's cool about it is if you're a geek, it gives you more information about it than sort of your standard battery charger, so you can know when your batteries are starting to lose their power, losing their juice, how much they can retain, cool things like that.
It's got a nice little digital display. That's cool. So you just put any battery in there, or well,
any
rechargeable battery in there, it recharges it. You're good to go.
Yeah, cool. I believe, as far as I know, it, you know, it'll do NiCad or any of the other ones. So, but check it out. It, you know, if you really dig into this, if you're really geeky, you can dig into it and figure out the sort of cool stuff that it can tell you. Or if you just want a good battery charger, I've heard from tons of people that this is just a great battery charger. Period. So if you want to help out the environment by, you know, not using up tons of batteries, you know, because as geeks, we have a lot of stuff that uses batteries. A lot of it has rechargeable stuff built in, but some of it doesn't.
Yep.
So, you know, it's nice to use one of these. Check it out. It's a great product.
So are we going to get into subscriptions, or should we skip down to the USB drive?
Let's go to the products first, and then we'll hit the subscriptions at the end. The next product we want to talk about is called the LaCie iMakey. They have all kinds of these iMakey USB drives, and what they are is it's a USB drive just like any other, but it's shaped like a key. So
it's about the same size. Like, it's really thin. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks like a key, and you put it on your key ring, and it's meant to be, you know, sort of durable enough to take it, you know, take being in your pants, getting banged up by all your devices and stuff. So they look really cool too, and so this way you always have a USB drive on you. You never do that old, like, hey, you got a USB drive? Oh man, I gotta go get it out of my laptop bag, or, you know, because you always have your keys with you.
Yeah, this is a perfect present for almost any geek.
Totally. Yeah, even if you already have one, it never hurts to have another, because you always seem to need USB drives.
And it's in the shape of a key. I mean, this is something I would put on my key ring and always have it.
Yeah, I mean, I have one that just is luckily good enough to take the beating, but this one's way cooler because it fits in right with your keys, you know what I mean? It doesn't stand out compared to the other keys and get beat up or anything.
Right.
The next thing that we want to talk about is document scanners. Just in general, Mark and I really like the Fujitsu ScanSnap document scanners, but I think a document scanner is a great thing to have around because you can keep track of all your documents, all your receipts, all your bills. They're super fast. You just put the document in, like your bill, your receipt, your invoice, anything, hit scan, it scans both sides, and you can keep all your records digitally.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make a PDF. It doesn't matter if it's upside down, sideways, whatever. It automatically will detect the text orientation, flip it around, put it in a PDF, make it searchable. So, I mean, if you, this is great to go paperless, scan all your documents,
totally,
in, throw them away, and then, well, back them up though. Make sure they're on your Drobo.
Yeah, and, exactly. And then put it on something like your Drobo. Yeah.
And then you can go through and, you know, search through them, find the stuff you need instantly. This is a great way to go. I don't have one yet, but I really want one.
All right, so check them out. The Fujitsu Scan Snaps, I think are sort of the leaders in the market right now, as far as I know. They have portable ones or desktop ones, both really cool. The next product is the iFi. This product is really cool. It's been around for a little while. It's gotten some tread, but I think it's important to say if you like to take digital pictures, you should get some one of these.
When you told me about this, I couldn't even believe it. It's just an SD card you put in your camera, and it's got a wireless like antenna in it that syncs with your, you know, regular wireless network and transfers your images. That's crazy, and it's very useful. Go outside, take some pictures, come home, you know, turn your camera on when you get to the house. It automatically syncs to your computer. Put it. I mean, you can even have it probably set to go to your Drobo, back them up. You're done. That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. You just put it in your camera, take pictures, and the problem is you have to have a computer that can run the iFi software because it needs something to talk to. Mm-hmm. But if you only have, you know, a computer running that software, it'll talk to the iFi, grab the pictures, and do what you want with them.
That's cool.
So great product. I mean, it's amazing to think that little SD card has all that functionality built into it.
And it's SD, so it's going to work with any camera.
Yeah.
Well, that supports SD, which is almost all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of them standardize on SD for now, I think. So, all right, so get one of those. Those are great. The next and last sort of item that we want to talk about, this is really cool. It's called the Wiki Reader. And what it is, it's a little device that puts Wikipedia in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. If you stick it on your coffee table, guests come over, they can just search and read stuff. Basically, it's just Wikipedia on the device. You don't need a network connection. It literally has the entire Wikipedia encyclopedia on the device.
Yep.
So you can just search for stuff, read it. It's awesome.
And I know what you're thinking. Wikipedia is changing and growing all the time. Why would I want that one snapshot? No problem. It's really easy to upgrade, actually. These guys provide the upgrade files for you for free. Just connect it to your computer, pop it over, new version of Wikipedia.
Yep, great for kids too. They can there's parent protections. You can get rid of the adult oriented content. They can use it to research their school papers and things like that. And for $100, it's not bad for a little electronic device.
Yeah, for like $100. I mean, this is something I think that could transform sort of the third world. I mean,
oh man,
if you could just give every school a portable version of Wikipedia right there, even if they don't have computers or a network connection. I mean, there's just so much knowledge in this tiny little device. It's amazing.
I remember back in the day when people would buy encyclopedias for like $1,000 for a set of those things.
Totally.
That's crazy. This is cool.
And of course, sort of the last little thing is the gift that works for any web geek is giving people subscriptions to the services that they love and use already. Like a great example is give someone a year of Dropbox for, you know, the 50 gigabyte Dropbox subscription. That'd be a great gift. I'd love to receive a gift like that. If you have, you know, an Xbox, you know, buy someone, you can go buy them in the online or in the store, little Xbox 360, Xbox Live cards that extend their subscription for them. Mm-hmm. Great. I mean, that's, you know, if that's something you're going to get anyways, then why not get, you know, 4 months for free or something like that? Again, like we said, if you have like a Kindle, if you know someone with a Kindle or something like that, buy them Amazon gift cards. Buy people Amazon gift cards anyways. There's everything on Amazon. If you can't find a gift, get them a gift card. They'll find something, I promise you.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the last one we sort of think would be a great gift is Netflix subscriptions. You know, keep that like a recurring gift. Like, you know, buy your sister a Netflix subscription every year for one DVD. And then there you go. Yep. You know,
Netflix is incredibly useful. Absolutely. I find it incredibly useful anyways.
And you can stream now. You can stream so many movies. You know, it's not the newest, best movies, but their selection is constantly growing. And I think it's amazing. So
it's a good deal.
That wraps it up for this episode of Face Off. I want to remind you guys that you can subscribe to the show by going to faceoffshow.com/subscribe if you haven't done that already. And you can leave feedback for the show by going to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We really appreciate it when you guys do, and we will see you next week.